Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got a lot to get to this hour. Hey, everything is getting better. We've turned the corner. The numbers are coming down. Even the USNS Comfort, the big hospital ship Comfort, leaves New York City today. It is not needed. It was actually never needed, but it was comforting to see it there in the harbor. But the Comfort leaves today. They will begin over the weekend to take down the Javits Center Hospital. That is leaving. We won't need it. Joe Bartlett, you remember the governor? Two, 3 weeks ago. 40,000 ventilators. You decide who's going to die. I need 40,000 ventilators. We didn't need
kind of exaggerated his needs, didn't he?
Oh, that's great leadership. You talk to any of these Democrats. Oh, that's great leadership. We never miss his briefings. They're fascinating. Everything he's saying turns out not to be true. Now, if you watch now, because he did that whole ventilator routine. A lot of these Democrats, that was it. We need a billion ventilators. So they forgot who they're dealing with. Donald Trump is an expert. This is what builders do. He's an expert at supply chain procurement, getting things manufactured. You know, when you build a Trump Tower, you don't go to Home Depot and buy some panes of glass. You got to get like literally 500,000 panes of glass made somewhere. Or even the little wiring, you got to get like 10 million miles of wire. So he knows how to get stuff done. So he set the world record for ventilators. They started turning out 10,000 a week. They got it up to like 50,000 now. And that's a very complicated thing to make. A ventilator is like a computer almost. And so
what are we going to do with all those ventilators?
Well, they'll stockpile them. It's a good thing to do now. It was recommended to the governor in 2016 that he stockpile 10,000 ventilators in case if they ever have an emergency. They'll do that now. Also, they are needed around the world. We're now giving them out around the world. Now, the other thing was the masks. We don't have enough masks. So you remember Pence figured out how to get 100 million masks made? You know what the new order is they're putting in this week that they'll probably have in a week or two? They got an order going for 500 million masks that'll be coming.
How long are we going to be wearing masks?
That could be for a while. Now, you'll watch the governor today, and he'll do his ventilator routine, although now it's testing. Testing. I need testing. Yeah. I don't have enough testing. How am I supposed to open if I don't test? You know? I'm looking
That's a good impression. He's probably saying that.
I got to work on that. How would you open without testing? How am I supposed to open with it? So I'm looking at California. They've just announced that everybody in Los Angeles, anybody in Los Angeles County, and that's a lot of people. That's as much as New York City. Anybody in Los Angeles County can be tested. They have enough testing capacity to do everybody in Los Angeles County.
How could they do that?
Well, obviously, they know where to get the tests. So when this Governor Cuomo comes on today, what am I supposed to do without testing? So obviously, it's his fault. I would think he's smart. He's a smart guy. I would think he's smarter than whoever it is in Los Angeles. They figured out how to find these tests. You can go buy them. You know, you don't have – there's no law that you must, if you need any supplies – that you must sit and wait for the federal government to go find it for you. Like, we have everybody broadcasting at home right now. Everybody. And this is iHeart. You know, like in New York, we got the five biggest stations. And how many people are broadcasting from home? Like 100 people?
Yeah, almost everybody.
You know how many microphones you need to do that? You know how many little mixers you need to do that? You know how many cables you need to do that?
I need cables.
I don't see Bob Pittman on holding a press conference. I need cables. Where is the federal government to get me cables? The guy's been in the business 30 years. He knows exactly where to get cables. He's got this is iHeart. It's a well-run company. They probably got a warehouse somewhere in New Jersey where they keep hundreds of thousands of extra cables in case they ever need them. That's what businesses do. You know, I've asked a lot of doctors in private practice about what do they do about masks and gowns and gloves and how do they and some of them say they buy, they keep 1,000 of them in a closet. But some really smart doctors said, I order 5 to 10,000 and keep them in a room somewhere. And I said, why do you order so many? Said, well, you never know when you're going to have an emergency, an outbreak. So that's what smart businesses do. So don't blame the federal government for everything. And if you said to the federal government, I need 100 million masks, they're not going to send them in 10 minutes. I would think they got to go make them. Somebody's going to make them. So you got to give them a week to make the masks. So, hey, have you seen this evidence about General Flynn being framed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Listen, General Flynn, he's a war hero. And the FBI was going after Trump, the swamp, the deep state, all these Strzok, Page, McCabe. If you're wondering, the deep state's a real thing. It's an actual thing. You can go see it. It's at the top of the ladder. The president appoints cabinet secretaries. Each cabinet secretary puts in his department underneath him about 25 to 50 people at the top level. And then below that in every department is like 1,000, 2,000, some departments, 5,000 people that are permanent. They never leave. They were there in the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration. That's what they mean. Deep state means deep down the totem pole, not up at the top levels. And they call themselves the permanent government. And when Trump came in, a lot of them said to me, he doesn't think he's going to run things here. We run things. We're the permanent government. So, and you have the same thing at the FBI. You see these guys, Strzok, Page, McCabe. You've seen them on the hearings, right? There, these weird guys with those 1960s glasses, the old glass frames that you haven't seen in years. And they all look at, they have the crew cut and those old glasses, and they all look like little bureaucrats. So these are evil guys that were around Comey. You know, you get men and women of the FBI are great people. They would love to see these guys gone once and for all. But Comey, who was the dirtiest cop ever, had a cabal around him up there on the fifth floor of six or seven of these guys. And all the memos and emails and texts that are coming out now show they went out of their way to frame people that were around Donald Trump. They couldn't find any evidence of any collusion, any Russia, they couldn't find anything. And you do this investigation sometimes. So you go to the five or six people you think are close to him and you terrorize them. You threaten to send them to jail. You bankrupt them. Flynn's case, they not only bankrupted him, they threatened to throw his son in jail. You do that kind of stuff to get him to give you something. But if there really is no Russia collusion of any kind, nothing, what is he going to give you? He can't give you anything. So he did it to him. Now these emails show them talking to each other where we say, you saw some of the comments. Should we try to get him to lie? Should we get him to lie so we can arrest him? That kind
that's
of
thing. That's awful what they did to this guy. And he pleaded guilty to save his son because they were going to harass his son.
Yeah.
He lost his son, right? Yeah.
Lost his life savings, lost his house, lost everything. So they've uncovered these emails. More and more of them have come out this week. It looks like, if there's justice anywhere in that system, that he'll get exonerated. Now, the other guy they did this to is Roger Stone. He'll be with us later in the hour. He's supposed to go to jail today or tomorrow. He wasn't even in the campaign officially. Just a friend of the president. So they terrorized him to give up something. He had nothing to give up. And when I say terrorize, you saw what they did in his front lawn. He was in Florida. In a case like that, a nonviolent criminal who's accused of the most minor little thing, they contact your attorney, and your attorney agrees to bring the guy in and surrender him. But instead, they launched literally a Normandy invasion on his front lawn at 5 in the morning. They had armored vehicles. They had helicopters. They had boats in the water on the canal behind his house on the intercoastal. Hundreds of agents with jackets and rifles and helmets and guns charged up the lawn to a guy who was asleep.
Sounds like they were arresting El Chapo.
Yeah. And they arranged. No, El Chapo, they let him surrender, didn't they? I think they let him come in on his own. But they also arranged for CNN to be there to cover it live. The CNN guy actually lied and said, well, we just happened to be in front of his house at 5 in the morning on a Tuesday for no reason. So we'll talk to him later and see what's going on with him. Joe Biden. These accusations, they're pretty serious, these accusations. This one woman was a Senate staffer, and it's really serious what she was saying, that Biden grabbed her, kissed her, and then put his hand under her clothes and then stuck his fingers inside. It's graphic. I don't want to get to it. But she told her friends about it at the time. She told a couple of neighbors. She told her mother. Her mother called in on the Larry King show. Didn't mention names, but asked what to do about this. And it's pretty serious, this accusation. Biden has been on lots of TV shows. Nobody asked him about it. Now, Biden's got a pretty good excuse in that he's almost brain dead and doesn't remember anything.
I don't remember exactly.
He could do that, too, by the way. He could say, Senate? Was I in the Senate? I don't remember being in the Senate. So finally, what they do, like the New York Times will mention it on page 62 for one paragraph. And then when you point out, hey, how come you didn't cover this? No, 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 here it is. Look at this. One day we did it. Somebody counted there was, when the Kavanaugh accusations happened, with a lot less corroboration, there were 7,000 stories on CNN. 7,000. With the Biden accusation, one. I don't know if you see the difference mathematically there, but now it's up to two because Pelosi was on yesterday and CNN asked her about it.
I have great sympathy for any women who bring forth an allegation. I'm a big, strong supporter of the Me Too movement. I think it's been a great, made a great contribution to our country. And I do support Joe Biden. Yeah. I'm satisfied with how he has responded. I know him. I was proud to endorse him the other day, on Monday.
You see, now that's a very good lawyer's answer. She didn't say anything about whether he did it, didn't do it. She didn't say anything about what he said about it. She said, I'm very happy with how he's responded. Well, he's never been asked about it.
That's a great response because you're right. He didn't respond.
I'm happy with how he's responded, which is he wasn't asked about it and he didn't volunteer anything. That's how she's happy with that.
You know, it's a matter that he has to deal with. But I am impressed with the people who worked for him at the time saying they ever absolutely never heard one iota of information about this. Nobody ever brought forth a claim or had anybody else tell them about such a claim.
Well, that settles that. If the people closest to him didn't confirm it.
No investigation needed here.
So if you're ever accused of anything and you go into court, just bring in six of your friends. They don't know anything about it. Well, that settles that matter. This Democratic immunity is a very, very powerful thing. But this is how bad de Blasio is doing. I noticed they're not giving him much Democratic immunity. They're letting people go after him. So if you're going to pick a fight, Orthodox Jewish community, I don't know if that's the fight to pick. I don't know if you're going to win that one. So listen, they were wrong to do that funeral, but you can't go around threatening to round them up and arrest them. It doesn't sound good. Now, if you check my Twitter, what was his wife doing the other day holding this press conference? Do we even know?
She's head of some sort of inequity task force, I guess, to make sure everybody is treated equally or that the minority communities get what they deserve. I think that's what she's doing.
All right. Well, if you need representation, this is the last person you want. Last time she ran anything, she lost $1.2 billion and they still can't find it. They don't know where it is. And it accomplished nothing. It was a program to help the homeless. And as you can see, once she got to work, you never saw any homeless people ever again in New York. What a job she did. So, but check my Twitter. Here's a picture of her. She's doing some news conference or something, and there's literally 50 people crammed around her. Now, why isn't she under arrest? Why didn't he round her up?
Yeah.
you can say, well, they're wearing masks. Some are wearing masks, some aren't, and they're all crowded around her. She's at a microphone and a podium. But you could talk without it. Why do you have to have 50 people stand next to you? So, he says he's going to keep an eye out for this. Hey, turn around. Look at your wife. Keep an eye on anything. So there's this program where you can get money if you're a struggling business. Everybody's been sending it back. Even Harvard, terrible Harvard, got $9 million. And they said, we're keeping it. That's it. The president put a lot of pressure on them. Remember one briefing? They said, what are you going to do about it? And he said, well, we can't take the money back. But he said, we'll do something to them. And he's the president of the United States. And he says, we'll do something to them. Even Harvard panicked. They didn't want to find out what that was. So they returned the money the next day. Notre Dame, I heard, still won't give the money back.
Ooh.
You ever read Axios? That's a terrible, some of the guys that worked at Politico left and formed Axios. It was supposed to be inside political information. It turned out to be the most left-wing, Trump-hating nonsense. It's that Jonathan Swan. They're all good writers, great writers, but they're so biased and slanted. They got a couple of million bucks.
Axios?
Yeah, what the hell? It's not even a business. It's certainly the most non-essential business in the world. It's not like we need another little website to do Trump hatred. I mean, it's not a shortage. So they finally agreed to give the money back, so they don't deserve it. Hey, newspapers may not survive this. I'm hearing that from top people in the newspaper business. I mean, the actual paper. course, the website, but they may not print papers anymore. There's just no money in it. There's no money in, obviously, a newspaper because they sell very few hard copies of a newspaper. But it costs a lot of money to get you the paper. You got to print it. You have to have a printing plant. You got to have trucks, drivers, newsstands, delivery guys to bring it to your house. It's not worth it. There's no profit in it. By the way, those websites, you know, when you see, well, the New York Times doesn't need that. They got 5 million subscribers on their website. Apparently, there's no revenue in that either. They're in a lot of trouble. So you pay the money for the subscription, but that barely covers expenses. The ad revenue is nothing because the only way they make, you know, when you go to the New York Times website and they got all these ads?
Yeah.
They only get revenue if you click on them. The ads aren't paid for. It's what they call per click. So they get 4 cents for every click. But when you go to a news site, the one thing you never do is click on the ads. You might do that on Facebook. But you know when you go on a news site, first thing you do is hit those X's, get rid of the ads.
Sure, right.
Yeah, nobody even looks at them. So they get nothing off those clicks. So it's not a good business model. Hey, check out the webpage. There's a lot of good stuff up there. The Blue Angels did that flyover, and everybody took pictures and did videos. Some of them look pretty good, of the Blue Angels flying over. Well, the Blue Angels did their own video. This is amazing. It's from the cockpit of the Blue Angels looking down at New York. Look at what they saw. It's really a beautiful video. That's up on the webpage. Also, I don't know if you saw this. These two doctors did this viral video, like 6 million hits. They were these doctors talking about why you got to end the lockdown. YouTube pulled it down. Fake news tried to ban it. But take a look at it. We got that up there. Also, Quarantine Theater. Watch the best of Don Rickles, of many of his funniest moments cut together. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
New York's one-stop source for information you need to know about the coronavirus. 710-WOR. Now, Mark Simone.
Hey, let's take a call or two. Let's go to Michael, Nutley, New Jersey. Michael, how you doing? Michael, you there? No, I think we lost Michael. Let's go to Jerry in Philadelphia. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I got something here for you. I want to hear your comment. What is America's line in the sand on our civil liberties? Since 9/11, we've given up privacy and rights for safety and security. Since man has recorded history, it's been a question of how do the elites control the masses? Even Tucker Carlson is afraid of China, thus becoming like China, a surveillance state. Is the Fourth Reich?
All right, now we're starting to get this. You're starting to get to us now. This is a little too much. You going to keep reading this thing, Jerry?
No, Mark. I want to get your comment about this, about the line in the sand.
I got to be honest. I wasn't listening after the first part. But it sounded great, whatever it was. It's excellent. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Vincent in Brooklyn. Hey, Vincent.
Mark, to force de Blasio and Cuomo to open up the restaurants, it's going to take somebody with deep pockets, not me, but somebody who has lawyers on retainer, like Restaurant Associates of New York, somebody like Drew LaPorte, who are going to be able to stand the legal challenge, who have lawyers on retainer already, who could say, hey, we have a plan how to do this. We could do this. A small mom-and-pop restaurant can't do it. They probably don't have a lawyer on retainer, but I'll put money on it that a person like...
Well, actually, you're right, because it's already being done. They got a restaurant commission committee, guys like Danny Meyer and I think Danielle and others are on it, and they're laying out plans on how they'll be able to reopen safely. That's what I was talking about earlier with the plexiglass between the tables. I hate that. And the disinfecting everything every time anybody gets up. I don't like that either. It sounds awful. Everybody wearing face masks and all that stuff. But I think 2 more weeks we're going to start reopening stuff here. Restaurants will go last. Even Connecticut, they're talking about May 15th opening date and then other stuff on May 30th. Restaurants are talking about the middle of June maybe. Any outdoor restaurants will go first because that's the easiest to control. Let's take one more call. Let's go to Charles in New Jersey. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Mr. New York. Great to talk to you. I just wanted to bring up how I'm very concerned about the censorship that's taken place with especially Facebook. I've been on there a lot, being at home. I'm a non-essential worker. And just a couple examples I want to point out to you. Number one, I tried to put up information supporting the hydroxychloroquine zinc, and they took it down, and they put the thing over here. You can appeal it, whatever. And so,
yeah, you can't appeal. I've tried that. They're totally corrupt. Facebook is the most biased, corrupt thing in the world. They even gave me a citation on one of them, which it was obviously a joke. It was a total joke. It wasn't meant. I mean, only the. I mean, a chimpanzee would know this was a joke. It was impossible not to know it was a joke. It was just a funny meme. But, yeah, they are brutally biased at Facebook. Just awful over there. Hey, when we come back, Roger Stone will be with us. He's set to go to prison for nothing, for absolutely nothing, totally framed by that Russian witch hunt. We'll get to that in a moment. On 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
710 WOR.
Well, we didn't find Roger Stone yet. You know what? It's one of those jinx days. This happened the first hour where our guest didn't show up. I could just feel it. It's in the air. Look outside. It's gloomy. It's cloudy. It's got one of those jinx days. Well, maybe he'll turn up. We're looking for Roger Stone. I hate to say it. I hope he's a free man right now. He was, he wanted to come on the show, and I said, well, can you do Thursday? He goes, yeah, I can do it. So, but if I remember, this was the day he was supposed to go away. Roger Stone was framed by Comey, Strzok, Page, the cabal. They convicted him over absolutely nothing. He's supposed to go to jail. I think it's today. Anyway, we'll see if we can find him. We're tracking him down. Right now, just to give you the latest, this there's a couple of drugs. Hydroxychloroquine works wonders. I know doctors all over New York and in all our top hospitals are using hydroxychloroquine like crazy on everybody. And if you get it to the patient early, it dramatically reduces the symptoms. Now, they've come up with something else, Remdesivir, whatever it is, this new one. Now, what that does, it shortens the duration of the symptoms. So there's a case study of, I think, 1,000 patients or a couple thousand, and they've shown it absolutely makes a difference. So that's two things right now. Now, there's a bunch of little things they can throw in that help with the coronavirus. Doctors with the Z-Pak, hydroxychloroquine, throw in a little zinc. It's a certain, you can't do this yourself. It's got to be just the right dosage. And Pepcid, that antacid, is working wonders. Now, you can't do this yourself, and you can't prescribe it for yourself, because you got to know your vital signs. You got to know you got to have an EKG. They got to know what other medicines you're taking. Otherwise, it could be harmful, very harmful. So you can't do it yourself. But doctors have gotten great results, dramatically reducing the symptoms with that kind of stuff. And then this Remdesivir shortens the duration. Now, you know, this Dr. Fauci was, for some reason, opposing hydroxychloroquine, even though every doctor was reporting great results with it. But even Fauci admits there's a breakthrough on this one drug.
The data shows that Remdesivir has a clear-cut, significant, positive effect in diminishing the time to recovery. This is really quite important.
Now, I don't know why some people wonder what he's up to. This guy's a real deep state bureaucrat, so who knows what he's up to. He was defending the World Health Organization, which is this sleazy group. He's always been on the wrong side of things. So maybe he's got some reason why he's promoting this drug, but not the other. Hydroxychloroquine has major, large case studies backing it up from all over the world. And just got a new case study from American Physicians Association, 2,300 cases. They had 93% success with hydroxychloroquine. The case study on this Remdesivir is similar, but for some reason, Fauci believes this one.
We think it's really opening the door to the fact that we now have the capability of treating, and I can guarantee you, as more people, more companies, more investigators get involved, it's going to get better and better.
Well, we'll see. We'll hope it works.
A 31% improvement doesn't seem like a knockout 100%. It is a very important proof of concept.
Yeah, the hydroxychloroquine seems to be more effective because it dramatically reduces the symptoms, makes it easier to get through. What this Remdesivir does is reduces the duration. So instead of 15 days, you could bring it down to 10 days, 11 days, something like that. So if you talk to some of the smartest doctors around, they're not putting a lot of hopes on a vaccine. It's possible you could get a vaccine, but even if you could, it might be a year. It could be 2 years. They're not counting on the vaccine. What they're counting on is by the middle of summer that they'll come up with more drugs. And they think there's a lot of out there, existing drugs like hydroxychloroquine or Z-Pak, things that already existed. They're already around. This, nobody knew you could use it on this. The, like I said, Pepcid, this antacid, that's being helpful. So they think by the end of summer, they'll come up with 15 or so drugs. They'll make a cocktail of this stuff up that'll really bring down the symptoms. So it'll be just like a bad cold. And if it does come back, if there's a second wave, if it comes back in the fall, it won't be a very serious thing. They'll be able to treat it and much more successfully. So that's what a lot of doctors are counting on right now. Things will start to reopen in a couple of weeks. People have had it. As Bill O'Reilly said last night on his show, 2 weeks. That's all people are going to put up with. 2 more weeks. And then they're coming out, whether they're supposed to or not supposed to. A lot of people love this working from home. They may stick to that. A lot of people, I had that story earlier, people are moving out of the city. And they're moving much further away from the city, not just the surrounding suburbs, but they're going way out, 2 hours out, because a lot of people now see they can work from home. They can do it full time. They can do it successfully. And they may, so they don't need to commute. They don't need to worry about moving 2 hours out of New York because it won't be a daily commute anymore. Hey, certain things are doing well. That awful Facebook had a great quarter. Obviously, if you're stuck at home, you're spending more time on social media. And Zoom has really taken off. You know that Zoom is now worth $46 billion. $46 billion. Now, a lot of people thought Zoom was getting pretty red hot and that Facebook would buy it. Just like when Instagram became the hottest thing, Facebook stepped in and bought it. So they were looking at Zoom, but now it's a little too expensive. $46 million is a little too much, even for Facebook. So it has really become huge. Also, it's now believed that Facebook won't be able to buy anything like that anymore, that the government will never approve it because of the antitrust stuff. Anyway, let's take a call or two. Let's go to Joe in Connecticut. Joe, how you doing?
Hello, Mark. A couple of comments about hydroxychloroquine. But first of all, what you said about Zoom, Pelosi's daughter is top executive in Zoom. I don't know if that means anything, however. Hydroxychloroquine is a derivative of quinine. It's been around. I was in pharmacy. I went to pharmacy school in the 70s. It's been around since the 1950s. Totally safe, very effective against malaria and fever. And a friend of mine, doctor in the Bronx, treated. He was able to get it finally after petitioning Cuomo. Got the drug, treated 30 patients in the last 2 weeks very successfully.
Yeah, so and you'll confirm, and when they say hydroxychloroquine has side effects, you'd have to take it for a couple of years to get those side effects, correct?
Mark, yes, and it's only 6 cents a pill. Even in the 70s when I was in pharmacy, working in Montefiore, very cheap. The other drug, remdesivir, is very expensive.
Yeah.
It's an expensive drug. And
Joe, thanks for calling. Good stuff. A lot of people are very suspicious of Fauci. He's too tied up with that awful World Health Organization head, Tedros, who's been accused of all kinds of corruption and covering up stuff in the past. Fauci is a longtime bureaucrat, a deep state guy with a stethoscope. He's not a doctor who's ever treated a patient in his life. One reason Deborah Birx has been better is she's got a much better background than Fauci. They've all done the same stuff as far as clinical research and fighting AIDS and government work and all of that stuff. But the difference is Birx was an actual physician at one time. She spent 14 years at Walter Reed, actually has treated patients. Fauci has never treated a patient in his life, never been on the front lines. So he's not that familiar with it. And a lot of people wonder, why was he bad-mouthing hydroxychloroquine? You can't find a group of doctors anywhere that haven't had great success with it. So what was that all about? And again, it's 6 cents a pill. There's no money to be made in it. But this remdesivir, which he seems to be pushing, there's a lot of big money and a lot of big names involved in that. So nobody knows what's up with Fauci. He's a suspicious character. World Health Organization has been just awful on this. They were the ones saying in January to us, don't worry, there's no human-to-human transmission. World Health Organization, they've been accused of everything, money laundering. They waste $200 million a year on travel, which we pay for. Major League Baseball doesn't spend $200 million a year on travel. So, I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And now, nobody can figure this one out. Sweden did not lock down. They just let everybody run loose. They never locked down. The rates were high, but not that much higher than us. But World Health Organization now praising Sweden for not locking down. Now, I don't know why they would do that. Anyway, we didn't find Roger Stone. Well, we'll see. We'll see if we he's not in. We got to check and make sure he didn't go to jail. He was supposed to be on with us, but today I think was the day they were supposed to come get him. But we'll see what happens to him. He's got a defense fund, by the way, you might want to contribute to, because he was totally framed. I forget the we'll just look it up. Go to Roger Stone. I'm sure he's got a website with that up there. Also, check out the webpage. We got some great stuff up there. Now, the Blue Angels did that flyover. Boy, that was really something. And everybody took pictures and posted videos of the flyover. But this is the greatest video of all. It was done by the Blue Angels from the cockpit. Watch this. It's an amazing video. It's the Blue Angels doing a video from the cockpit of what they were looking at flying over Manhattan. Also, and I hear this has been taken down. You might want to check. There's these doctors who explain what's wrong with the lockdown, and every bit of fake news, including YouTube, has been trying to ban it, pulling it down. So I posted it. I'm getting emails now. People are saying they've pulled it down again. So YouTube is trying to cover this up for some reason. It's just like Facebook. They've been Facebook, YouTube playing all kinds of games with this stuff. But also on the webpage, Quarantine Theater. This time with the best of Don Rickles. Also, if you didn't see it yesterday, watch this video. It's Joe Biden. This is real. This is Joe Biden groping Hillary Clinton. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.